Now Pastor Tom is going to lead us in communion.
Good morning. In the meantime, until that happens, we don't know when it's going to be. We still have to deal with what is. And we're starting in the men's group, the book of Ezekiel. And it takes place in a time period when Babylon is progressively invading Judah and conquering it. It takes three different times. They do it three different times. And the second time is when Ezekiel is taken away. The first time is when Daniel is taken away and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Second time is when Ezekiel is taken away. So he's a contemporary with Daniel. So he's given a vision. He's called to be a prophet by God. And the first 32 chapters of the book of Ezekiel are God warning, continuing to warn Judah, because they still are in existence there in the land of Israel. They still have the temple, but he's warning them to repent over and over and over again. He's practically begging them to stop worshiping idols and to start following him with all their heart, and they don't do it. And then finally, Nebuchadnezzar gets tired of their rebellion in Judah, conquers Jerusalem entirely, destroys it, destroys the temple. So now everything that Israel and their religion is based on has been lost. Their land, they've lost. You know how important it was for them to be in the land. Their temple has been destroyed. They have no way to now worship God in the traditional sense that they were used to. And it was a terrible time for the Jewish people. That's when the message of repentance and kind of anger that God had, his wrath, changed in Ezekiel 33 to one now of hope, looking to the future and trying to reassure the people of Israel that they would have a future, that there would be a restoration of the land. So I see a parallel kind of here in America. I feel like we're losing America, what it stands for, what it's based on, the morality of it. It's just getting picked apart and being unraveled and destroyed. And I feel rather helpless about it as one person to do anything. So we can pray, but still it's in the hands of God as to, you know, the timing and what happens. But with all of that, we can still put our hope in the Lord. We can still trust in him and walk with him. And look for ways to share the gospel message with those around us, because that's still the most important thing. And Julie shared a verse with me this morning that I want to pass on to you. It's in the Amplified Version, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, set aside self-righteous pride, so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service at the appropriate time. Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. So I don't know what your anxieties are today. Maybe you're worried about your job or your income or just being able to buy food, or you're concerned about the virus and different things like that. But God has you in his hands, and he's going to protect us, and he's going to see us through, and we need to realize that our hope is in him. It's not in any institution. It's not in any nation. You know, America is not our savior. I've said that before to you. Jesus Christ is our savior, so he's the one we need to focus on and walk with at all times. So let's take communion together. One of the reasons we do it, of course, is to always remember what Jesus did for us so that we don't forget. It sounds silly that we would forget our salvation and what Jesus did for us, but it can happen. So Jesus instituted communion so that we could use these simple elements of bread and juice to keep reminding ourselves of what Jesus did. So that's what we're about to do now.
Spoken worlds were formed. You breathed and life was born. You knew that one day you would come. So far from heaven's throne, clothed in human form, you showed the world the Father's love. You gave your life away. You gave your life away. You gave your life away for me. Your grace has broken every chain. My sins are gone, my debt's been paid. You gave your life away for me. You lived a sinless life, yet you were crucified. You bought our freedom on the cross. Forsaken for our sin, you died and rose again. Jesus, you are the Lamb of God. You gave your life away. You gave your life away. You gave your life away for me. Your grace has broken every chain. My sins are gone, my debt's been paid. You gave your life away for me. For me. How glorious is your love. If I could sing forever, it's not enough. How glorious is your love. If I could sing forever, it's not enough. It's not enough. You gave your life away. You gave your life away. You gave your life away for me. Your grace has broken every chain. My sins are gone, my debt's been paid. You gave your life away for me. You gave your life away for me. Forsaken for my sin, you died and rose again. Jesus, you are the Lamb of God.
So let's take the bread together. Jesus, we thank you that you gave your life for us. We don't even necessarily think our life is worth that. But you did. And we're so glad and we're so thankful that you did, Lord. And that salvation is such a personal thing. It doesn't get any more personal or individual. You died for each and every one of us, Lord. Your death was effective in forgiving our sins and making our heart new and filling us with your Holy Spirit. totally impossible things, things that we could never even dream of or hope for. But you accomplished it because you gave your life for us. You may take and eat the bread. And then the juice, Lord, you taught the Israelites from the beginning that sin could be covered only by the shedding of blood. And it started with animals, but you were pointing to ultimately the sacrifice of your son. We thank you, Jesus, that you answered that call. You allowed yourself to be killed for us, and you shed your blood to cover our sins. So this agent of cleansing that we're about to drink represents, Lord, that you covered the sin nature, Lord. You changed the sin nature in us. It isn't just individual sins, but you changed us completely, Lord, because of your cleansing blood. You may take and drink.
Sorrow like those who have no hope, do we? Now may the Lord bless you. May he give you a beautiful week. May he renew your sense of excitement and expectation. It is coming, which is soon, and may he use that to give you a sense of urgency to take his message to the needy people around you. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And
the Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May God richly bless you.